And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales of the Long Box podcast. I almost forgot what podcast I was on. That's pretty bad. This is episode 203, Comic Book News. I am Chris Mosby.
And I am Murray Fox.
And our intrepid colleague, Caleb Gerard, is in a mission in deep space, or California, I'm not really sure which. But he has sent his best wishes, best wishes. You can tell it's early. And so, yeah, and I've just lost my train of thought because I just totally botched all that. But anyway, very professional we are. Anyway, so yeah, we're talking about comic book news, and I've pulled some together. We want to kind of do a little bit of a light episode and, with Caleb gone and stuff and things. So I threw some stuff together, a little bitty bits and pieces.
Excellent.
So let's see what we got, shall we? First up. Now, this might not be – I consider this – it is about Batman. So, you know, this is kind of sort of comic news. But being a gamer as well as a comic book aficionado, this is kind of a big deal. The first up is Batman Arkham Knight, the latest in the Arkham gaming series from Warner Brothers and Rocksteady Studios, has been PC sales has been suspended in the wake of a botched launch. Now, basically, what a lot of computer game companies do these days is they focus on making things for consoles. And then when they want to make a PC version, they do what's called a port. And it's basically under the hood, most of it is the same version that's for a console, like an Xbox or PS4. And then they just do little tweaks here and there to make it work on PC. Well, the performance was so bad, lots and lots of complaints about it. That they've pulled it from sale from all the major retailers and on Steam, which is the platform I use. It's an online thing. You don't get physical copies. It's all digital download, blah, 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 blah. So it was so bad, performance was so horrible that they have, you know, and it was included tales of sluggish performance and a total inability to get the game to even work. Warner Brothers issued a statement on its community message boards last night. And this was actually 3 days ago. And I quote, "Dear Batman Arkham Knight PC owners, I want to apologize for those of you who are experiencing performance issues with Batman Arkham Knight on PC. We take these issues very seriously and have therefore decided to suspend future game sales of a PC version while we work to address these issues to satisfy our quality standards. We greatly value our customers and know that while there are a significant amount of players who are enjoying the game on PC, we want to do whatever we can to make the experience better for PC players overall." Blah, 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 blah. They're offering refunds and help and so on and so forth. Apparently, and I didn't know this because I waited a long time before I bought it, but apparently this happened with the last game as well. And it took months to patch, and even now, almost 4 years later, some users have issues enabling the advanced graphic features, which I have. I usually buy these games, but I wait till they all for years. I'm back.
Okie dokie.
Sorry, I hit the mute button accidentally. Hopefully some of that. I don't know how much we lost there, but let's see. What was the last you heard?
You said you download or get all the games
late.
And then blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so basically what I was saying was I usually get these games way after their release, and a lot of those bugs are worked out, and so on and so forth. Those particular games, they're kind of action games. I'm more of a strategy gamer. So, but yeah. So, anyway, bad news for fans of this franchise that are PC gamers. I know we're getting smaller every day, but
so, yeah. What do people normally play them on?
Like Xbox, PS4.
Gotcha.
You know, things like that. So yeah, and it's like I was saying earlier. They usually make them for the consoles, and then they do what's called a port, and port them over to the PC. And sometimes it just doesn't work very well. Another one like that was Dragon Age 2. You could definitely tell it was just a console game made for PC. And if you don't play games like that much, you might not see that. But as being I only play PC games. I don't play any consoles. I'm just not a console gamer. And it's just a personal preference. So anyway, that's that.
A whole new language.
Yes. I got a lot more technical than I had planned. So anyway, there you go. That's our first bit of news. Let's see. Okay, another big news, and this is something that we all get. As of this last comic book day, Dark Horse finally signed up with Comixology. And all their stuff is, available, which, that's good news for some. I know Caleb had trouble with their app, and so there's a lot of good stuff. They had some bundles, which they were a little expensive, like huge chunks of comics for almost $200. But, I mean, if you got the money and you wanted to get that, then go for it. I know I had bought several comics, and the one thing I have not checked yet is things I've bought through their Dark Horse's own app on the whether they'll transfer over. I know Marvel had their own app for a while through Comixology and eventually linked those. So I don't know.
So I have the Dark Horse app. Haven't used it yet. I haven't got anything from it. But I am, I'm wondering whether, will we be able to purchase things through the Dark Horse app and then or is that app going to be unusable or discontinued?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll still keep it because DC and Marvel have their own branded apps as well.
Yeah. Those I use.
Yeah, and this, where you can just use the DC app if you just want to look at DC stuff and you don't want to mess with filtering through everything else. Those are hosted by Comixology, though, so we'll see.
Yeah, but they have the one click shopping, which I love.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not really sure. I need to check that out for myself too. See what the deal is with that. But I would imagine if they don't have it now, they more than likely will. So we'll see how that goes. Along those lines, Marvel re-upped with Comixology for singles, and they have even expanded allowing you to get singles for Kindle, which, if you have a branded, if you only have a Kindle, I don't know. I prefer, because they've been doing collected editions for a long time. And the guided view technology doesn't work as good on Kindle, or is actually non-existent, than through the Comixology app. So, I mean, you could buy them from Amazon instead of Comixology, but I think Comixology works a lot better. So, anyway, but that's a kind of a big deal. You can get single issues through Kindle now, which, whatever. And along that line, IDW was like Marvel and the rest of them. They had a branded app through Comixology, But apparently, they went in a... They created a whole new application for Apple products from another company called Madefire. And it says here in this was beginning of the month, IDW has created a new application with the help of a partnership with Madefire in order to open up their catalog of comics to a wider group of fans. Brand new app store allows access to over 3,500 comics as well as 15 free trades available digitally. Several motion titles, as well as collected editions, pardon me, are also free up to July 12th of this year. Separate applications are also marketed for their franchises, including Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers, and Star Trek. Is available on Apple with Android Windows 8 versions coming soon. So that's kind of interesting that they decided to go to the side and not use Comixology for their bringing of that. A little bit there. Interesting. Let's see. We got it. Ah, here we go. There's been a bunch of shuffling and editorial on comic sites. Let's see. According to The Beat, in the past 12 months, Newsarama, The Outhouse, Comics Alliance, Multiversity, and Broken Frontier have all had changes at the top, with various editors and chiefs leaving. And it says here, well, you can add Mary Sue to the mix as EIC, Jill Pantozzi, as just announced she's moving on. This was, as in just announced, this is on the 22nd. She's going on to other things. She has a long history of a comics and nerd cultural journalist, worked incredibly hard to make the Mary Sue one of the leading votes for diversity and the female freedom of all things nerd. She's a great person, and it says, I'm sure she'll move on to bigger, better things. Shocking news, earlier this month, Chris Arant was actually hired as editor at Newsarama. Like Jill, Chris is a former freelancer for yours truly at Publishers Weekly. That would be Heidi, what's her name? McDonald, yes, Heidi McDonald. And is also awesome with unsurpassed knowledge of the industry. Let's see. Dorian remains a senior editor at Newsarama, and George Madison is staff writer. Let's see. I'm still coming in clear. Okay, so anyway, changing around. Lots of stuff changing around there.
I haven't checked out the comics news sites in, wow, like a long time. I used to read them like every day, and now
I used to too. I've got a thing where I pull their feeds into and a bunch of other stuff on security and movies and everything else, and it's all on one page, and that way I look at what interests me that way.
Gotcha.
So I don't actually – I go to one page to get look at a whole bunch of different news sites. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. This is more about the comics themselves. Let's talk about that. This is something we can all discuss here. One thing we talked about a couple episodes ago is they're going to do – as he says, Marvel is going into the all-new, all-different direction. And they are – having 60 brand new titles, all number ones, starting from scratch. And this was on the 26th, so this was a couple of days ago. So this is from The Beat, Heidi McDonald. Give him some credit. I didn't do that in some of the others, but anyway, the whole line will be revealed soon. Solicits are coming, and this is what we got so far. We'll update as more is known. So far, 9 of the 60 titles have been announced. Creative teams are unsurprising. No knock on the very talented people involved, just an observation. Anyway, here we go. First up is A-Force is an all-female team of Avengers, I believe. I haven't read the original. Even though they've only had 4 issues in the can so far, they're rebooting it. With an all-new number one coming in fall, written by G. Willow Wilson, art by Jorge Molina, I believe that's how you say it, cover with Victor Abanis. Spider-Gwen is going to be in it. You got She-Hulk, Medusa, Captain Marvel, Dazzler, and Nico Minuro, and newcomer Singularity. Rebooting with a number one. Exciting cover that shows that A-line frock now counts as a superhero costume. Okay. Interesting. So anyway, according to this, so who's the mysterious Singularity? Where is she from? And how does she pull our band of heroes together? First, readers became first equated with Singularity during our blockbuster summer event, Secret Wars. So spoilers if you haven't read that far. I've only read the first one, so. Inclusion of the Singularity will arrive in the new Marvel Universe, and when she discovers the Fae hanging in the balance, she will summon A-Force to her side and a threat the likes of which they've never seen. So anyway, we got all kinds of women in there. And you can see all, you know, female Thor, and apparently it'll be a revolving cast, it looks like.
That's all right. I will give it a look.
Yeah, so interesting. I am so behind on the Marvel Universe, I tell you. Okay, so now we've got the next up is a title called The Totally Awesome Hulk. And it's a whole new Hulk.
He's a surfer.
Yeah, and he's got this kind of curl on his head, which apparently is that character that some people think it's that character that I can't remember the character's name that Mr. Gerard said was a great sidekick.
Amadeus.
Yes, yes. Amadeus. It even says here, will be a new shocking person. Internet speculation says it will be former teenage sidekick Amadeus Cho, who appeared in Pax's original Hulk run. Perhaps as a bonus, his mother is Dr. Helen Cho, who was in Avengers Ultron. So basically the premise is, for decades, Dr. Bruce Banner has buckled under the weight of his fearsome alter ego, the Incredible Hulk, says Mayor Marvel Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso. Now, someone else is going to take away Banner's burden, hoist it up onto his frail shoulders like it weighs no more than a leaf. Wow, he actually said that. And embrace the pure fun of being the most powerful being in the Marvel Universe. It's the Hulk like you've never seen him before. We've heard that before, I'm sure. Unleashed, unapologetic, and totally awesome. Yeah, because it's in the title. So, you know, it's got to be true. But who is the mysterious new Jade Giant? And just what has happened to Bruce Banner in the previous 8 months? All will be revealed, and the answers will surprise you. Not tormented, not conflicted, just a giant green wrecking machine who loves being the Hulk. Oh my, that doesn't sound very good, does it? But spill trouble. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was like, hey, I'm the Hulk and I'm happy.
Yeah, happy Hulk. We haven't had that in a while.
No. Have we ever had that? I don't think we've ever had happy Hulk, so that should be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one I'm actually looking forward to. The all-new, all-different Avengers, written by Mark Waid. Art by Adam Kubert and Mahoun Assar. Cover artwork by Alex Ross, on sale in October. This is an all-new team comprised of all-new versions of your beloved characters. Captain America, which is Sam Wilson. Thor, which, oh, spoilers, if you don't know who female Thor, if you're waiting to read who the female Thor is, stop right now, because I'm going to spoil it for you. Thor is Jane Foster. The Vision, Miles Morales, a.k.a. Spider-Man from the Ultimate Universe, Nova, Ms. Marvel, and sort of a post-Ultimates Ultimates, if you would. I don't remember. It doesn't say who Iron Man is. I don't know if that's still Stark or not. And they actually, Free Comic Book Day, gave that out, a preview of that. I read through it, and I thought, that's odd. Now I understand. Let's see. The Avengers assemble this fall for a team. Okay, this is the solicit text. The Avengers assemble this fall for a team that will truly live up to the name. The series title implicitly states this is all new, all different, like no other Avengers team ever. It seems a group of characters that you've never seen operate together before, no matter how long you have been reading comics. It's also a team that upholds the Avengers traditions. Interesting. There's nobody among these characters that you look at and feel hasn't earned their place on the team or in the spotlight. The way some past Avengers occasionally have, interesting. And it's possibly that the most real-world reflective Avengers team of all time, with only a single white male to be found amidst the membership roles. So that's an interesting way to put it.
Huh. So which is the...
Well, Nova's white, so I wonder who Iron Man is.
Huh. Interesting.
Very interesting. But, you know, you got... wait on it, so I'm going to check that out. Now, the next one is even more, it's a little bit more interesting to me. It's Squadron Supreme, written by James Robinson, art by Leonard Kirk, covered by Alex Ross, coming in fall. Now, this team of villains is back with Hyperion from the Avengers, Nighthawk from Supreme Power, Dr. Spectrum from the Great Society, Blur from DP7, and Warrior Woman from Squadron Sinister, which they show somebody else there. They show that Thunder Chick with the chain. Special beat bonus points. She says special beat bonus points because Nighthawk is one of my all-time favorite characters. So every one of these characters is from a Marvel Universe that was destroyed. And they're in the new Marvel Universe. Interesting. And in the quote, solicit text says, or actually this is a quote from Robinson, "You're willing to do a lot of things that turn people off," says writer James Robinson to an interview with Marvel. "They can seem a little cold-blooded and ruthless, but there is ideas. We have a planet to save. And if that means we have to sacrifice a few people to do it, we will." Ooh, so they're definitely at the darker end of the heroic spectrum. Now, see, that sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, I was reading an interview where he's going to be doing, like, because they're all from these different, like, they're all from a different Earth, he's going to have, not really flashbacks, but they're going to be, they're going to be remembering, well, I guess it's kind of like a flashback. They'll be remembering what, they'll be thinking back on their previous worlds or whatever. And I think Leonard Kirk is going to be drawing those flashbacks kind of in the style of the artists that originally drew the characters.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I think it's got a neat kind of hook. Like, I don't know if the characters themselves interest me, but I know Robinson does great character work, and if he's doing of that flashback stuff, it's worth a look, I think.
Oh, I agree totally.
And all these characters, I mean, they're new-ish. They're not, you know, none of them have had a huge amount of exposure, so they're all kind of
like
blank slates. He can do whatever he wants with them.
Like Blur from DP7? How old is DP7? Good God.
It's like way back. Mm-hmm. New Universe?
That's yeah, like, way. I know they did kind of a revival of that. Yeah, that New Universe. So anyway, that should be interesting. Okay, next up. Now, this one I don't know much about. I know this was kind of big when it first came out. So I guess they did some kind of... they did a deal, an alternate universe, where they had a bunch of Spider-Men. And in this one, Gwen Stacy became Spider-Man instead of Peter Parker. So, Spider-Gwen number one, written by Jason Latour, art and cover by Robbie Rodriguez and Rico Renzik, coming in fall. And it says, in perhaps the most controversial move yet, the very popular Spider-Gwen book is coming back just the same, but with a new number one after a mere 5 issues of the old run. It's all new, all different, and all new numbering, people. Okay. Solicitech says, this book has defied all expectations, mine included, and has continued to thrive and grow, says series writer Jason Latour in an interview with Marvel. Pardon me. I can't tell you how precious of an experience it makes it. Relaunching and being put out there on the front lines as a tentpole kind of title really is a tremendous opportunity to open our doors to everyone again. Now it says, now is your chance to jump in with a clean entry point into a character that has world buzzing, plus the answers you've been waiting for. The secret history of Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker are finally revealed. Someone out there has recreated Peter Parker's lizard formula, so he was the lizard. The same formula that ultimately cost him his life and branded Gwen a fugitive. She won't let it happen again, but with NYPD Captain Frank Castle, what?
Oh, yeah.
And the kingpin of crime, Matt Murdock, what? That'll prove easier. Oh, my goodness. That's twisted for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. And they actually call her Spider Gwen, too. Interesting.
Yeah, I think in the book she's Spider Woman or Spider Girl.
Well, in the picture I'm looking at, it's got these posters. Stop the Spider. Oh, yeah. The Spider Woman. Okay, you're right. Okay, good deal. Let's see. Earlier in the week, it was announced that Kelly Sue DeConnick was leaving a Captain Marvel book, which that was set. The ones I have read, I liked, so I was kind of sad to hear that. So basically, what they have done is they got people. Oh yeah, yeah. The showrunners of the Agent Carter TV show, which I've only watched a few of, they are taking over. So, written by Tara Butters and Michelle Vazquez, art and cover by Chris Aniak. That's coming out. So, you got your text here. It says, "We are thrilled to have Michelle and Tara on board for Captain Marvel's next adventure," says Marvel Director of Character and Content. Well, that's a long, good lord. Her title, Marvel Director of Character and Content Development and Series Editor. Santa Aminant. So it's like sounds like women all together. Powerhouse storytellers will take Carol to even further heights as she explores what's beyond Earth's borders. Carol Corps, stay at the ready. It's going to be one of her own. I'd heard about that. So she's got like a... Yeah, interesting. So basically, been from one of the universe to the other, and her journey, she's discovered a hero and a leader she was born to be. Now she's back, and if you want to get to Earth, you've got to get through Captain Marvel first. Earth's highest-flying, hardest-punching heroine is planet's first line of defense against any and all extraterrestrial threats. Blah, blah, blah. State-of-the-art space station under command, so it's basically a Green Lantern Corps. Female, except for it's a female. Okay. Well, I mean, that's what it looks like. They're all got the same costumes and, you know, kind of what they did with the Nova Corps in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. That's what it looks like, basically.
Well, they're setting her up for the next for the movie, I guess.
Yeah, they're gonna do that movie. Okay, so now we got and Doctor Strange is back, boys and girls, and he's carrying a big axe for some reason, which is looks kind of weird. Okay, so Doctor Strange number one, written by Jason Aaron and cover, art and cover by Chris Bachalo, fall 2015. See, so I've always. I like the magic thing, so I'm going to probably look at that. Jason Aaron is an actually, I've discovered lately, he's a pretty good writer, so. Southern Bastards, you read that?
Nope.
I got the first trade on Comixology on sale, and it's really good. I heard that they're making a movie out of it. Or a TV show. One of the two, I forget. So basically, and Heidi says, Doctor Strange hasn't had an ongoing book since 1995? Hard to believe that Marvel readers had no interest in eldritch obstacles and fantasy foes. We had a Benedict Cumberbatch to thanks for this return, however. Okay, so listen, text. Prepare for a side of the Marvel Universe you've never seen before. Whoa, we're at a train station?
Yeah, train coming.
Okay. As a magical, mystical, and all things weird lie at every turn. And if it's bizarre enough, you don't know where to turn, call the doctor. Inside his Sanctum Sanctorum, the strangest place in this or any other universe, the master of mystic arts protects this realm from supernatural. Summarize, something comes up that's big, that's going to affect all magic users, so he knows he's not powerful enough, so he has to go find a different kind of Sorcerer Supreme. All magic comes with a price, this time Stephen Strange, blah, 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 blah. Okay, anyway, so that should be interesting. One that rewrites the rule book for what it means to be Sorcerer Supreme. Now, this is what I was surprised about. The new Spider-Man number one, written by Brian Michael Bendis and art and cover by Sarah Pacelli. Apparently, they're going to go with the ultimate version of Spider-Man in this Spider-Man comic. Whoa.
I saw that. Yeah.
So they're going to go with him, and there's no Peter Parker Spider-Man listed so far, but still, it's only 9 out of 60 things. But if you look at the background of this picture, and he's just swinging, you see an ad for Parker Industries, and it says the future is now. So, you know, maybe he retires. So 5 years ago, basically, he's patrolling the rooftops of New York City, different from the one he knows. Peter Parker's still alive, though their paths have crossed by the landmark series Spider-Man. Miles now living in Peter's universe. Is the town big enough for two? More importantly, how did Miles come to be in here in the first place? I mean, interesting. Well, that's pretty much it on that one.
Yeah, that's... I'm curious. I'm really curious to see how they're going to integrate him into the regular Marvel universe. I think it's a good idea, because the Ultimate line has kind of faded away, and that seems to be a character that works, but mm-hmm. I'm curious how they're going to fit him in, and because they can't be getting rid of Peter Parker. They're going to keep him around for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right,
next up. Okay. Next up, we got a little bit more Marvel news here. Apparently, they're starting a title called Uncanny Inhumans. They first started talking about it in June 11th. It promises huge superhero throwdowns in an all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. Now, more details in the last couple of days. On the 26th, they published Newsarama published a deal here about it. And apparently, the Beast is joining. And... Human Torch is going to be in it, which, and looking at her preview pages on the first article, looks like Human Torch and Medusa are together.
Ooh.
Yeah, she plays a big role in Secret Wars, appearing in several titles across the battle world. She's a major character, yada, yada, yada. Now, in this is going to be the Beast, and it looks like a character Triton, and I don't know, there's some other Inhumans, but Black Bolt's going to be in it, too, so it should be interesting. And I'd forgotten that they had said they're doing, I don't know why they picked this time frame, but it looks like they're trying two different things that the DC done in the past when they try to relaunch. All new, all different stuff is going to take place 8 months after the end of the Secret Wars. So you got 1 year later, or 8 months later in their case. And, of course, this is the new 52-ing of the DC Universe, or Marvel Universe, it seems like. But in a mashable DLC, it goes on to reveal that the key storylines of Uncanny Inhumans will be the search for Black Bolt and Medusa's missing son, Ahura. That must be the other guy in that picture. In Uncanny Inhumans number 0, which I've never read, Black Bolt handed the child over to Kang for safekeeping in the time stream against the coming incursions which kicked off Secret Wars. Soule has stated previously that Kang, Charles Soule, is the series writer. It's one of the key villains planned in the Uncanny Inhumans run. So it's going to be Charles Soule and Steve McNiven. So there's another one.
Huh.
Interesting. So
it is. Charles Soule usually does good stuff.
Yeah, Uncanny Inhumans number 0. I don't remember that coming out at all. Never heard of
what?
It. That was on Free Comic Book Day. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Who hands their kid over to Kang for safekeeping?
I don't know. That's kind of weird.
That would be like vacationing in Latveria or, you know, heading to, what's that place with all the dinosaurs? Monster Island?
Yeah.
That's Black Bolt. I don't know what he was thinking.
I don't either. Let's see. I don't know. Well, I, you know, I don't really don't have that much else except for Joseph Gordon-Levitt says literalists might not like his Sandman adaption. Apparently, he's taking a lot of liberal. Anyway, he's working on a script for the film alongside producer David S. Goyer.
That's okay, though. I think you kind of have to. Like, Sandman, 75 issues, there's no way you compress that into a movie. There's no way you even compress one of the storylines into a movie, really, to do it justice, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
So, they... Huh.
So, yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with them adapting stuff. I'm just wondering if they might even be better off. Like, Sandman is such a fluid concept that you could probably even do like a brand new story, and it would, as long as it had the feel of a Sandman story, it might it might fly. I don't know if people want that, but
yeah, I've never
I remember reading it all. I remember enjoying it as I read it. I don't have any of it anymore, but you can always pick up copies of stuff in any of the libraries. There's like 8 million versions of it, so
I have one trade of it because it was recommended as – because it has a script in the back. And that's one of the things – that's one of the things that I was recommended as something to look at as a good script.
Right, right, right.
So I don't even remember which one. Oh, okay. Here's the other one. The very first one they announced is Invincible Iron Man number 1. It's going to be by Brian Michael Bendis and David Marquez. It's the very first one. Let's see. This is what they're going to completely redo it from what I've heard. Tony Stark will still be in the armor, but he'll have a new status quo and a new circle of allies and enemies to contend with. We'll also explore a loose end from Kieran Gillian's Iron Man work. The revelation that Tony is adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And the identities of his biological parents. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Which makes sense for something I just read. Apparently, the Avengers title, they're not going to have access to a bunch of money. They're not going to have access to either Avengers Tower or Stark or S.H.I.E.L.D. funding, leaving them juggling limited resources. Huh. And have to contend with the fact that three members are teenagers and have to balance their school lives with their superhero activities. I don't know if that'll work.
Maybe the Avengers are going to have to move to Detroit.
Yeah, that's it.
They'll become the Detroit Avengers.
There you go. Detroit Avengers. That's awesome.
They can have like a hip-hop artist join the,
join the
ranks.
Yeah, do licensing gigs with them. And...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's pretty much all I have found on out there. So that's all that's been revealed so far.
And that's all September, right, for Marvel?
This says fall-ish, so...
Yeah. They're going to roll it out over September, October, I'm sure.
Yeah, they want to get September back. Now, also that reminds me, they're going to do... a two-issue series, the Marvel called All Different Marvel, and that comes out on July 1st. So we'll find out some more then, which is this coming Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
If you're listening to this on Monday, so yeah, that should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. We will have to look for it.
Yeah, and let's see. Somebody called it a reboot, and Alonzo told the New York Post, this isn't a Marvel Universe where the sky is green or there's no water. This is a Marvel Universe you know with a few constructive tweaks. That's a reboot, people.
Yeah, you know what? It'll be...
Why can't they just admit it?
Well, because I don't think they're going to be starting all over. Everyone's getting a new number one, but I don't think they're not going to do what DC did and wipe the slate clean and just start from the beginning. They're going to – it's just going to be a fresh start, a new starting point.
Mm-hmm. All those alternate universe shoved together. Wait a minute. That sounds like Crisis, doesn't it? Oh, wait. Never mind.
It sounds very Crisis-y, except they're just going to pick and – well, you know what? I guess it is kind of Crisis-y. They're just picking and choosing the – I'm guessing they're picking and choosing the stories that are going to still be in canon and forget about the ones that they don't want to do. And...
Well, it's still going to be the Peter Parker Spider-Man, but then you got the kid, too. Now, I never did read that Spider-Man where there was all those alternate universe ones. So you're going to have Spider-Gwen as well. So it's kind of like Barry Allen Flash and Wally West Flash, except for Barry didn't die. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious to see where they go with it. They'll have September will be a big month for them, I think. Mm-hmm. Assuming Secret Wars finishes by September.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's kind of delayed a little.
Just a little. Yeah, I noticed it hasn't been coming out like it's supposed to.
No, I think the next couple of issues have been delayed, but I forget for how long.
Yeah. Well, that's really about all I got, unless you got anything you want to talk about.
I haven't got any new news.
Yeah.
Nope. I picked up a couple of the new DC stuff, and I like the stuff I picked up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got stuff, but I keep buying them, but I just don't seem to have time to read them. I don't know. I'm going to try to catch up on that. I got some vacation coming up in July.
There you go.
So I'll be sitting around, and I have the 3rd off, which having a day off. And when I've, up to this last 2 jobs I've had, I've worked for banks, so I had a lot of extra days off than normal. Now it's like, you know, I get barely any. You know? So it's like, we got Memorial Day off, which I was surprised. And then we got the 3rd for July, and then that's probably it for a while. So when I got the new job, you got vacation, you don't take it, you don't get to keep it. I could always carry over a week's worth or a certain amount, but in this job, no. So I'll be taking some vacation. And I ain't not going to lose it.
No way. No way. Use it.
I got a week in July, and I'll figure out something.
Good. You can go to the beach. Lounge in the waves.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll probably be in the apocalyptic wasteland in Fallout by that time. So anyway, that's about it for this week. Thanks for joining us, Caleb. We missed you already. Playback volume. Okay, that's probably what it is right there. Okay. Anyway, that's about it for this week. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on our growing. I wouldn't call it a legion. I'd call it like a small band of Facebook fans. And then on the actual episodes. And let us know what you think there. So, that's it for this week. And we're out.
All right.